So I like the, this is my theme, very nice, thank you. But Rise and Shine, your theme for the year. And yeah, even with the well, I believe that is what God is going to lead you to, and you'll see as you arise that the glory of God will just touch. And kind of want to challenge you, you know, to maybe get out of your rhythm, maybe challenge your own faith to expect more of what God wants to do. We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, right? He is all-powerful, almighty. He can do anything. And the amazing thing is He uses you and me to do that. I preached on the glory of God this morning at Shofar Brackenfell, and it was so evident to me. We carry the glory of God. We were made in His image, in His likeness. He crowned us with glory and honor, and we carry that. So wherever you go, if you are full of Christ, if you dwell in His presence, you carry that glory. And when we think of life, now for many of us, I don't know what your picture of life looks like. Maybe you feel like that lighty. You know, all you see is uphill. Stair after stair after stair. And then you get that little landing. And you think, hallelujah, Jesus, everything is going to be fine. And as you progress forward, what do you find? You feel like Poe, my worst enemy, stairs. You get the reference? Okay, good, just checking. My sons are big on, do you get the reference? Some really don't get. My sons, Jamal is a graphic designer. He is working, what, a year now? Almost. Well, this is, he's been finished more than a year studying. My youngest, Caleb, he's currently a third year software engineering. He's busy handing in assignments. So we're seeing some blood, sweat, and tears and stuff going on there and some grinding, and it's beautiful to see. And then I have one wife. Yes. Yes, in Jesus' name. And we've been married for 30 years, so we still like one another. This is awesome. So you can just maybe give a hand there. But if this is your picture of life, I trust that, you know, God will shift something in your heart today. Francis Chan said this following, if you can chuck that up there for us, our greatest fear should not be of failure, but of succeeding at things in life that don't really matter. Our greatest fear should not be of failure. Many of us fear failure, right? We don't want to look like fools. We don't want to attempt something. I mean, Scripture even says, who's the guy that plans and starts building and then realizes, I don't have enough money, then everybody laughs at him. We don't want to be that guy. But I love what Francis is saying here. He says, we should fear not succeeding, of succeeding at things in life that don't really matter. What is life about for you? What are you pursuing? What are you running after? If a rise and shine is in your heart, what are you pursuing? What are you chasing? Which is a question which each one of us have to face. And look, we go through different stages of life, and you know, when your sons are getting to the age where you really realize, I mean, I'm in July, I'm marrying Jamal, that's our oldest son. He's no, I'm not marrying him. No, I'm not ready for that. Or am I? Wait. But his best friend, they were born a month apart. I'm marrying his best friend in July. That's quite scary. I saw that little boy here. Now I'm going to grow up and now I'm going to marry him. So I want to ask you tonight a question. What's in your box? Now, this is not a TV show, but it's something for you to consider. I want to ask you, what is in your... If your life was represented by a box, what is in your box? What is precious to you? What is in there? And now I want to ask you a question. If in your life you can choose simply one thing to put in that box, just one thing, not 10, not even 2. If you can put one thing into the box of life, what will you put in it? I can see the math going. What will you put in the box? And yes, the criteria of the thing that you're going to put in that box is the following. It can only be one thing, right? It must be the thing you treasure most, that you will pursue with everything that you are, because that's what's going to be, it's going to determine your life, what you put in that box. It's the thing that will define you. It's a thing that will give you purpose. It's a thing that you will do anything for. It can only be one thing. What will you put in the box? Because life can be about many things. The reality is, each one as we sit here, is we get one shot at life. Just one. And that's it. Interesting fact is, I don't know if you know this, and I'm not a doctor or anything, so if there's doctors, you know, don't take me out here. This is what I've heard. But apparently when a baby is born, they're born with closed hands. But when a man dies, he dies with an open hand. Why? Because the only thing that we have to cling on to when we are born is life. It's the only thing we lose when we die. In between, there's this space where a lot of us, even as we're sitting here, we go, what is this life about? Why am I here? You know, we're trying to figure out what God is doing, wants to do with us. What is life about for you? What are you hanging on to with everything that is in you? Now, Matthew 6:19-21 says the following. Quite a one of those scriptures, you know, that kind of gets under your skin. It says, do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy. And we all go, yeah. And then you still go to work. I don't know what's wrong with you. Yeah, no? And with thieves breaking and steal. This is Africa, right? At least the upper parts. Okay, this is not Cape Town. Okay, they break in and steal right up there. Okay, verse 20. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I guess that obviously brings out the question is, where is your treasure? And I think all of us that are sitting here tonight want to say, yes, it's Jesus. And I hope it's true. But what is the treasure? What are you busy building? What are you pursuing with everything that is in you? It's a question that when I was in my sabbatical from November last year till Jan, it is stuff where God started actually scratching in my life. Kubus, what are you pursuing? What are you after? You know, I am 54 currently, and okay. I'm 21 with a couple of years experience. How's that? Okay. Nah, man, this age thing kind of creeps up on you. But I worked out the other day that I've got, you know, until people say that you must now go on pension. I think I've got something like 11 years. You know, that freaked me out. I'm like, 11 years? Yeah, I know that. But they tell you, go sit at home and be bored. And I'm like, not doing that. And it is these moments that you face. And I think about my life and I go, what was my life about? You know, we talk about legacy. We talk about what do we want to leave behind. And this is what life is about. And for each one of us to consider. So you are sitting here, you are a Christian. You know that you are saved, and it's absolutely amazing. Right? Just checking. But what will you do with your faith? what will you do with your faith? Consider the following, and I think I've put it up there. I ask these questions. How much do you worry about finances? How much do you worry about your job? Maybe a deadline. How much do you worry about your kids, and especially the kids? Well, how much do you worry about world news, politics? And there's all these other so-called important stuff. How much are you thinking, pondering? We've just gone through the elections, and there's stuff flying up and down, and people are saying stuff and scheming stuff and, you know, predicting stuff. And when we are at the other end, we're receiving this information, and we're kind of having to work through this fog trying to figure out what's going on here. How much is that on your mind? Is this what your life is about? Is this what you want to be doing with your life for the rest of your life? About just worrying and thinking and pondering about these things? Is this what faith in Jesus Christ is about? Is this how we walk this out, the side of heaven? What is hindering you to do something with your faith? Because when I'm thinking about these things, when I'm pondering about them, when I'm in anxiety and fear and concern for my children and their future and so on, do they not that not determine what I do with my faith, how far I go with it, what, you know, how do I risk? We were talking, you were talking about risk. How much do you risk with your faith? Where do you take your faith? Or is our faith only for a Sunday? You know, maybe on a Wednesday. You know, maybe small kind of burst here and there in the week. What is my faith for? Randy Alcom says the following: he who lays up treasures on earth spends his life backing away from his treasures. To him, death is loss. So many people, this side of heaven, pursue stuff the whole time, starting to gather and so on. And so they are so concerned about their stuff that when they die, for them, that's terrible. You know what's one thing that is true here for all of us? The day we die, someone else spend our money. Assuming you have. Okay. Sorry, champ. You in ministry. Sure. I said to my boys, good luck. I'm spending what little I have. I'll leave you the Hilux. You can have the Hilux, you know. Yeah, well, I got no use for it. I'll be in heaven, you know, walking on streets of gold, you know. I must still talk to the Lord about this only fruit in heaven thing. No. Scop, choppy, sticky steak. I mean, okay. And then he continues saying the following: he who lays up treasures in heaven looks forward to eternity. He's moving daily towards his treasure. To him, death is gain. Wow. So when I lay up treasures in heaven, then what I lose here is not loss. I'm actually moving towards my treasure. Then what I lose this side of heaven, the day I go, just do that quickly. It's the last thing you will do one day, not now. Wellspring of life. We're not doing a thing now. Okay, just letting you know. We go, hallelujah. That's about as close as we get to that. Amen? But we are, when we lay up treasures for ourselves in heaven, we are moving towards our treasure. Which puts me in a place personally of weighing the stuff that I'm pursuing. And there's stuff in this earth that we are passionate about. Apparently I'm a Land Cruiser, so. You know? When we as Christians think about the question about what's in the box, then we must face the faith question. Is my faith in the box? How does my faith in Jesus Christ fit into my life? Or does Jesus Christ fit? Is my life about Him, or is He just simply fitting into my life? Is my life about Him, or is He just fitting into my life? How does He fit in your box right now? Is He even in there? And then how will He fit in the future? You know, when I was on sabbatical and I was thinking and pondering about these things, and I faced this question, it's a real moment where I had to face the reality of my own decisions and passions and things and go, but what is Jesus Christ about? So I'm in ministry. That is an awesome privilege. And still, my life can be about other stuff. And I had to make some choices. Now, the moment we face this box question, we look at our past. So I want to say to you, you've got a past. Congratulations. Well, each one of us has a past. You made some mistakes. You got hurt. You wasted some time. But we are here right now. My question to you is, what are you going to do with your faith? What are you going to put in the box of your life? Now, this Isaac guy, Singer, I'm not going to pronounce that. It's his second name. Here help us. What, I don't know what these people were thinking, but he's probably in some other country. Life is God's novel. Let Him write it. Life is God's novel. Let Him write it. If God was going to write the novel of your life, what will it look like? If God writes the novel of my life, will it not be the best book ever, with the most amazing things? And now immediately, you and I have this thought, nothing will go wrong. If you've been a Christian for any amount of time, you will know it's not the truth. The pauper still hits the fan in the side of heaven. But every time I go through this mushmash of life and I get out the other side and I look and I just turn around and I go like, whoa, for me it was chaos. And then I see, whoa, Jesus was here. I can see His footprints. I can see His hand. I can see Him working in my life. And then I look at myself and I suddenly realize, whoa, who are you? Because you look different. So when God writes the novel of your life, please don't expect, you know, this fairy tale, everything goes right thing. But it's still the most beautiful book. Something I would want to read. Not that I read much. Now, here's the thing. The challenge is, if I place Jesus Christ, the one thing, remember, what's the criteria of the box? You can only put one thing. It's the one thing that you're passionate about. You're going to pursue it with everything that is in you. You're going to give your life for it. So if I decide to put Jesus Christ in that box, then I must trust Him 100%. Because when He's in the box, nothing else fits. But when He's in the box, He takes care of everything. And this is our challenge as human beings. We try and stash everything in that box because we want to be in control. We want to make things happen. We think we know best on how to make this life work. But when God writes the novel, when Jesus is in that box, suddenly the other stuff gets taken care of. Who have you been? I know you've got your own business, but who else has got their own businesses here? Who have ever been in your own business? Now, if you've been in your own business, you would know that you need Jesus. Huh? Minutes, bro. Hours is too long. So, I have seconds. Yeah, whew, this is getting, the fact of the matter is, We need Jesus every moment of our lives. You see, when Jesus is in that box, I need to trust my Father to write the best book, the best novel ever. It means I need to let go and trust Him. So, when I was on my sabbatical, I woke up one morning, and I'm not an acronym person. Who's acronym people? You acronym everything? Okay, I'm in good company. Praise the Lord. But I woke up with the phrase life. And if you put that next slide on, if we put Jesus Christ in the middle, or as the one thing in our box, then this actually happens. Life happens. I didn't plan that. Living intentionally for eternity. Now this is our theme for the year. Only because I encountered Jesus on my sabbatical. But we need to live intentionally for eternity. Single-mindedness, one goal in mind, and it shapes everything that I do. I'll tell you a quick testimony. How much time do I still have? Okay, good stuff. So I've got 40 minutes. Great stuff. When I was on my sabbatical, I planned originally to go to the Namakwa National Park. Do you know where that is? It's in the middle of nowhere. You know, literally. It's the most beautiful place. There's no internet, no phone signal, nothing. My wife was freaked out. Because if I go there, how's she going to get hold of me? In any case, I was excited. Not to get rid of her. I was just going, yes, nothing. So this was my plan. I wanted to get away, just me and Jesus, 6 days in the Namakwa. I mean, you get to the park, and I checked in the park. It would literally have been just me at that time in November. It would have just been me. There was nobody else booked in the park. It would have just been me. And then our plan was to spend 3 or 4 days there in the park. And then there's a road that comes down the coastline, 110 Ks of nothingness. I wanted to get lost. This was the plan. I was looking forward to this. Just me and Jesus. I'm going to meet with Him. I'm going to eat fish with Him, fresh from the ocean. And I'm going to have this incredible time. And then a week before I went, my Yaris's clutch went. Talk about finances. No. We don't receive that. Okay, but so the clutch breaks, and I go, what's this now? And I have to replace the clutch. And in any case, long story short, I ended up going, opening the map. Now I've got this time. I'm going to go. Bucky is ready. I'm just going to drive. And I open the map, and I see other side, Gans Byway. There's a place called Die Dam. Jy sien, julle weet ook nie waar is dit nie. En ek hy saam like Die Dam. And I thought, looks okay. I've got no plan. Yeah, this is now, it's just me and Jesus. In any case, I drive there. Get there, and what I realized, and this was the theme of my whole sabbatical. I had this plan, just me and Jesus alone. His plan was me, Jesus, and a lot of other people. I arrive at the Dom, which, by the way, is where the tar road ends, and you get a gravel road, and there's this little place that people live there. Hello. And I moved in there, and the first person I encountered is the lady at reception. And you know, Jesus had an appointment with her. I had the most incredible chat with her. That, I was there 2 days. I ended up, one of the guys in our church randomly had booked there. He arrives, brings a friend along. I actually lead him to Christ, baptize him in the sea the next day. We have the most incredible time. I'm going, just me and Jesus and other people. And it was incredible. And I left there, and I was going to go to Witzand, and I was going to take that, you know, that pond there. I don't know what the dorpie is now, but there's a pond there. It was my second time. Malchas. I wanted to get there. And 10 minutes before I get there, the thing breaks. The pond now. So I get there. And he goes, sorry, meneer. The pond is in St. Chopson. You're not going over this pond. And I'm like, what's this now? My brother, I was tempted. Don't get me wrong. I get the Hilux. The snorkel can uitsteek. I'm good to go. Any case, so I'm upset. So I thought, I'm fully kitted. I've got water. I've got tent. I've got power. I can just pick a spot. Yes, and I'm looking and I can't find anything. End up driving all the way back to Swellendam. Book in at the Bontebok. You know why? Because Jesus had an appointment with someone there. Any case, I move in there. I'm very upset. I'm now somebody hairy. And any case, pitch my tent, eat my little choppy, go sleep. The next moment, I'm sitting there with my lack of coffee, and a couple walks past. And I just hear him telling, it was him and his wife and a lady I think they know, and he was just telling them about how his back is giving. And in that moment, all I hear is, go pray for him. And I'm going, sabbatical, Lord. Hello. Rest. I'm not ministering now. In any case, and that's two examples, but I can tell you my whole sabbatical was filled with these incredible moments because Jesus was in the box and he had an agenda for people. He was continually leading me to people. I cannot tell you how many of my plans went. I thought I'm going there. I'm not going there. If you get there, it's either ugly or there's no space or something. And then I leave and I get to another place. And the last place that I go to, because I eventually got to Witzand, by the way, which I don't really like. But that's me. I get there and I didn't want to stay there. And I picked this place. Lorette Stoll WhatsApped me and said, you must go to the... We looked at this and I go there. $100 for the night. Yes, budget. And I drive into this farm. And I'm driving, and I'm driving, and I'm driving, and I'm sort of going down this valley, and I end up in this valley. Most beautiful campsite, very nice. Like this. Sure. Me and Jesus. In the middle of nowhere. It freaked me out. No, I'm honest. I've never been so alone in terms of nothing there. It was awesome. I had this moment where I was sitting there drinking a coffee again. I need your brew, my brew. Anyway, so I'm sitting there and the next moment, everything shuts up. I'm talking silence like I've never heard. In my entire life. It was scary, yet beautiful. Sitting in this place in the presence of God, knowing that I'm doing life with Him, that everything has changed. Now, when it's about life, when it's about living intentionally, you know, when it's living, when you are living, when you wake up, you are alive. So living means that there's something happening. I'm not dead. I am alive. I can do things. What does God want to do with this day? What is His agenda? And if my sabbatical taught me anything, is to expect anything from my Father. What is His agenda? Who does He want to meet? It's not about my deadlines or the things I'm trying to achieve. And I tell you, even now that I'm back, and for a couple of months, I'm fighting for this thing. I want to wake up with and living for His purposes and plans for my life. I don't want to miss anything. But there's intentionality, right? So it means that I intentionally pursue that which He has in store for me instead of my agenda. Life, we often think, is just random. You know, c'est la vie, what will be, or whatever it is. It's not random. We've got a Creator who has an agenda with your life, who wants you to arise and shine and make a difference in this beautiful world. You know why? He has people on His mind. and He loves them very much. And you are the one that's going to touch them. Not Retief. Because Retief is not where you are. Edna is not where you are. You carry the glory of God wherever He leads you. And then the four. You know, there's that saying, if you're not aiming at anything, you're going to hit it. What are you aiming your life for? What is the four of your life? In this case, we're saying the four is eternity. Are you aiming your life for something that is temporal? Or what are you aiming at? What purpose? If there's one thing in the box, what are you pursuing? And then, eternity. Which in this case, I believe, is kingdom stuff, man. And kingdom stuff is not just here on a Sunday. It is 24/7. Wherever you are, you're bringing the kingdom of God to that place. You are salt and light. Arise and shine God's glory right there. Yes, we're going on missions. I'm going in October to India. But it's not just out there. Ephesians 5 verse 15 says this, look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time which you have been given. Because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand. Come on. Understand what the will of the Lord is. So what does life mean to you? What will life look like after tonight? Is there going to be a shift? Will there be a shift? What needs to shift? Galatians 2:20 sums up for me. This is the base scripture for me for life. I have been crucified with Christ. And you need to just read this scripture very slowly. Because this needs to sink from here to here. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Now, if this is true, and I am alive, and I wake up in the morning, what does Jesus Christ want to do? It's Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in this flesh, just maybe pinch yourself, just to check that you're still human. Ek sien 'n ander storie aan gaan hierso. What's up with this? This life I now live in the flesh. I live by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know what's crazy about that scripture? Is that I can actually see nothing. I'm hoping for stuff. But I have no substance. So your life, as you walk this out, there's not necessarily substance that I'm seeing. I have hopes. I have dreams. I plan stuff. But I see them fulfilled in Christ. The life I now live in the flesh by faith in the Son of God. That just positions everything. You can believe in a lot of stuff. Lots of opinions out there. But when I believe in the Son of God, that determines everything. What I'm aiming at. And then he goes, who loved me and who gave himself for me. Which for me says that I'm very valuable. I am very precious. And can I just say, men, I know we don't like to think like this, right? That I'm precious. That I'm valuable. We go like, You are valuable. You are very precious. Otherwise, he would not have died for you. And I know, men, we try and be heck of a macho. Sometimes we fear our own emotions. Oh, you can neither confirm nor deny that this is the truth. I get that. Okay, no, it's fine. What is the one thing that you will put in the box? It's the question that I want to leave with you. It's the question I want you to wrestle with. Even as you think of Arise Shine, even as you think of what God wants to do here, the well He wants to stir because He wants to touch the communities, what are you putting in the box? Because church is about that one thing. It's about Christ. Not our traditions, not our way we do stuff, not the show for brand, although we are passionate about what God is calling to us to a shofar, but it's about Christ. How will this one thing touch your life from this day forward? So can we stand? Would you mind just closing your eyes? And I think for me, this is a very, very real moment in that in your mind's eye, I want you just to be alone with Jesus. I don't want you to even hear the person next to you. I just want you to stand in front of Him. And as I shared with you this message, maybe just even recall what you feel God has just been speaking to you about and just bring that before Him right now. And just be honest. Man, if you missed it, just be honest. If you need to repent, just be honest. If you've been pursuing stuff that you shouldn't, just be honest and repent. Just give Him everything. And even in this moment is, what will you put in the box? This is a decision you can make, and only you can make. I cannot decide for you what goes into that box. As pastors, we want to tell you what to put in that box, but you need to decide what you put in that box, this life box. So Father, I just pray for each one of us as we stand before You tonight. God, we are naked before You. There's absolutely nothing hidden. You see it all. We can fool one another, but You see everything. And this leaves us vulnerable, Father. It leaves us without cover. It leaves us exposed. But despite that, God, each one of us, we just come before You tonight and we bring that before You, this life. God, we repent if we waste the time. We ask Your forgiveness if we got distracted. Father, when we've been pursuing the stuff that Ecclesiastes calls vanity, vapor, smoke, nothing. And tonight we just come back to You. Because Father, we want to rise. We want to shine. We want to allow this well of Your glory just to bubble up in this place and be display Your glory and draw all men to You, Father God, so that they can experience what we experience in this love relationship with You. Fill us with Your glory. Fill us with Your presence. And I pray for us, Father, as we go from here, that the decisions that we make, we humbly submit that to You. And we say, Father, have Your way, we pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said,